With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to Casual Friday Talking Buffalo Podcast, presented by Casey's Black Rock. My man Joe Yerden is with me, as always. I'm just gonna dive right in today, man. Not messing around. I got a lot going on, but I could not do this show because people come to expect Joe Yerden on Fridays. My guy, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Doing good, man. We're getting tuned up for football season, ain't we?
We are. You know what's funny? So the first 20-second intro there just reminded me of something. Let me ask you a question. Let's start here. And I got a reason for asking you this. Kind of call you, well, maybe you won't call yourself out. I'm going to call myself out, though. You ever do, so you don't have your own podcast, but you're constantly a guest on other people's shows. Obviously, You're doing mine with me every week, which, of course, I appreciate that. You're a regular on the podcast scene. You're on WGR a lot. You do tons of radio hits, stuff like that. Do you ever do a spot or a full podcast or something like that, and then you look back afterwards, you listen back, or even before you listen back, you're just like, dude, I sucked. I was terrible today. I wasn't good. I didn't bring it, whether it's just, I don't know, it's a lack of energy, or you just didn't say things the way that you wanted to say them, whatever it may be. You ever look back and be like, God damn, man, I was really lousy.
You know, I've made it a habit to try to never go back and listen to something that I've done.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's a, like I hate my own voice kind of thing. I mean, it's part of it, I guess. But like, I don't know, because I don't want to over critique anything, because I will nitpick myself to death. I won't nitpick other people, but like myself, I'll just be like, oh, geez, that was stupid. Man, I sound like a moron. Like, what's wrong with, you know, the whole thing turns into a spiral where I'm just like, oh, man, I stink at this. What am I even doing? And so I've tried to avoid that whenever possible, because I just don't need that extra anxiety in my life. So, yeah, I try to just never do that.
Well, let me explain to you why I asked you that, because so I just did a bonus episode on Wednesday with Anthony Marino from Buffalo Rumblings. I love Anthony. One of my favorite guests, great guy and a great Bills writer and podcaster. But anyway, just a lot going on. And you know, I got a lot going on. In fact, listeners know I got a lot going on because I pretty much goddamn complain about it every week now on the show. But I look back and I'm like, goddamn, I sucked. Like, I want to send Anthony Marino an apology right now. It's like, I don't know, man. I was kind of all over the place. Sometimes I might over-prepare for stuff. Like, I got, like, a book full of notes. And then sometimes I don't ever think I'm underprepared, but in this case, I was. I was like, you know what? It was all about the Bills and NFL roster cuts. I'm like, I don't need no notes for this shit, man. I can wing it. I can look at the roster and just bring up stuff. But I just constantly found myself fumbling over sentences, asking pretty stupid questions, kind of making my own point and then asking him in form of a question. But in reality, I was just pretty much saying, hey, confirm what I'm already telling you right now. You know what I mean? But putting it in kind of question form. So yeah, man, I just look back and sucked, which, you know, I've talked about this on the show before, because I've had some episodes that aren't even about sports. It's about podcasting and stuff. And you and I've talked a little bit about this. Sometimes when you're doing radio or television or podcasting, it can be tough to put everything that's going on in your life aside, because when you're on the air, whether it's audio, whether it's video, whatever it may be, people really don't give a shit about what you have going on at home or what you have going on at the office. They want to be entertained and they want to be informed. And for the most part, I think it's pretty easy to do that. But, and you know this, Joe, at times it can be difficult when you got a lot going on in your life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be all bad stuff, but you're just maybe in the case with me, with moving and stuff, everything, I'm really busy and I'm trying to balance doing this podcast and having a regular 40-hour-a-week job and moving and running back and forth, like with my head cut off, trying to get everything done, trying to have a little bit of a social life, all this other stuff. And it kind of can distract you. And you get on, you know, you get behind the mic and, you know, it's just, it's not there. Your headspace ain't there. It can be tough. My point is this, and you know this, it can be tough sometimes to kind of put everything aside when it's go time for broadcasting.
Yeah. I don't know if this is more of a reporter thing, but whenever I ask a really boneheaded question, or if I ask something that's like, you know, if it's basically like a repeat question, mm-hmm. that's when I'll just like, it'll kill me in the moment. Cause I'll just be like, what a moron. Like, what am I doing? And I mean, I think I've even been busted on camera, you know, occasionally when I ask something, I'll just like, you'll just see it just drain off my face. And I'll just be like rolling my eyes at myself. And I'll just be like, oh my God, like, why did I ask that? It's so stupid. And then more often than not, the players are really cool about it because they'll just be like, yeah, okay, like that's fine. But every now and again, you'll have somebody just look at you and go, what are you doing? Like, what is that question? What are you even doing? And that, I guess more, it's more like the instant feedback that works for me. Cause then it's just like, all right, that's all right. That stung because then it's like, it's over and it's done with instead of just kind of stewing about it. And I don't know. But to your point about like people don't want to hear like, you know, the personal stuff. I don't know, man. Like sometimes like that can be really easily identifiable. And
yeah. Well, we do that on air.
Oh yeah. And
well, I do.
I don't know. Like that's, I don't know. I guess it depends on, excuse me. See, now I'm not going to listen to that now. Forget it. It's one listen you're not getting right now, but like, I don't know, man. Like it depends on like what the expectations are. If you're coming into this, just being like, we're just going to talk this. And then it strays off. People are going to be like, what the hell, man? Like, this isn't what I didn't come to listen to this, but like something for this, like casual Friday, man, like it's casual. Do whatever the hell we want here.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And I will say this, and this is the good thing for me anyway, is I am finally moving this weekend. I've been podcasting basically in an attic now for the last, 7-8 weeks. Before that, I did a couple shows with you at the hotel in the lobby. One time I had to go outside and do it like in the entrance coming into the hotel. I haven't sat at my own desk, in my own chair, in a room that is my room to record anything for this show going all the way back to June 16th. That's the last time I've had my own setup in my own house, in my own place that is mine. And I miss that, man. I can't wait. One of the first things, so I'm moving on Saturday, got a U-Haul. I really don't give a shit about, you know, putting the dishes and the coffee cups and all that bullshit together. I don't care about any of that. You know, one of the first things I'm going to do is take that third spare room and convert it into my podcast room. I'm setting my desk up. I'm putting my boom arm up. I have a studio mic, and only Joe could see this, but like I have to hold it with my hands, this big ass heavy studio mic, because I don't have the boom arm set up. So I'm setting up the boom arm, getting up my panels, all that stuff. It's going to feel studio-ish to me. And it's just going to make me in a better mind space. It's going to make me feel better because it's been so damn long, dude. It's been, And again, I'm so appreciative of you. Now, on the bright side too, I know that you are a fall guy and you know that I am a summer guy. We already had this out on the starting five draft a handful of weeks ago and you kicked my ass. So obviously more people agree with you then agree with me, but for you, this is definitely starting to be, you're getting to that better time of the year. And I will say this, at least for right now, it is nice to do this show with you and not have to have a towel draped over my head or, you know, pretty much being ready to take my clothes off because I'm in an attic that's like 10,000 degrees. It's actually, we're taping this on Thursday, what is it, September 2nd, and it's really comfortable outside right now, man. It's nice. This is your time of year, buddy.
Listen, I wasn't messing around when I picked all these months in our starting five, man. Like,
well, your fans agree.
It's like the second it switched from August to September, it was just like, hey, all that hot, humid garbage you've been dealing with for like the last 2 or 3 weeks, gone. See ya.
Yeah.
Like suddenly the temperature has dropped a little bit. The humidity's gone. And yeah, it's lovely. Like I have the windows open in my apartment. I don't have the AC you know, going 24/7 anymore, which is good considering, you know, heat rises. I live on the second floor of a building, and which is the top floor of this building, but like, sucks. It sucks ferociously to, you know, to have your apartment be like 88, 89 degrees. And you can't even like, you don't even, it's probably TMI for a lot of people, but like, you don't even want to get dressed in the day. Like you just wake up and you're just like, as little as I need to wear is going to make it comfortable for me at home. And like, you don't want to do that. Like, that's just it, everything about it just sucks. And this is beautiful. Like, it's dry. There's a little breeze. It's sunny. It's great. Like, this is just the start of fall. But like, when it cools down, when it's like 60, you know, 60 degrees every day for a high, down with it, brother. Down with it. That's what I like.
One question about events coming up this weekend. I'm not going. And even if, and look, man, I'm just going to be honest with you. Even if I wasn't moving, I still wouldn't be going. It just doesn't do anything for me. But I'd be remiss. We talk about wings so much on this podcast. I'd be at least be remiss if I didn't ask you. 2021 National Buffalo Wing Festival is coming to Highmark Stadium this weekend. Are you going?
No. Wing Festival's not my deal. Because I know they always used to have it. Well, they always did it at Salem Field. And like that seemed like it was a little bit crazy. It was a little bit much. But like, I don't know, man. It's a little too much for me. And I'm not somebody who can just pack away wings all day. Like, I just can't do it. And like, to make it an all day thing and you're slamming beers and you're just cranking wings down all day. Oh man, that to me just seems like I'm going to drop at some point and I'm done. And never mind the competition part of it, because that got ruined for me years ago when 716 won best wings at Wing Fest. I was like, dude,
come on,
dude. Like the restaurant hadn't even opened yet. And it was just like, all right, I can see a paid off judge or a paid off panel when I see it. And like, I was just like, there's no friggin' way they had the best wings at Wing Fest. Like, come on. There was probably at least, you know, 15 to 20 places from outside of Buffalo that had better wings than 716. And like, never mind. Never mind all this. Like, it's so stupid. I was like, forget it. I can't take any of this shit seriously.
Let me tell you, man, I got two hot takes today that I've written down. And by the way, well, you're not talking, so I don't know if the audience can hear it, but there's the fire trucks. It wouldn't be a podcast with Pat and Joe without having the fire trucks coming from the west side. But anyway, here's how I feel about Wing Fest, and this might be unpopular, and I'm not trying to intentionally sound like a hater, but first of all, there's two reasons why I wouldn't go, even if I wasn't moving. Number one, I think it's a terrible value. It's costing you $20 just to walk into the stadium, and that includes parking, whatever. You shouldn't have to pay for parking anyway when you're going to spend money like that, but it's $20 just to walk in. And then when you get in, the deal is you buy food tickets, cash on site. Each ticket's $1.25. And you get, basically, you're paying about $12 for a single order of wings, which that's not terrible in today's market. But the $20 to get in so you can still buy single order wings at market prices for the most part is bad. But here's even the worst part, Joe. I'm going to tell you right now, if it was, take all my favorite, if it was places like 9-11 and Elmo and Barbell and Dalmatia Hotel and Mulberry and Sunny Reds and a couple other places like that, yo, man, I'll dish that shit out all day, okay? But you pay $20 to get in, you're paying about $1.25 per wing, and I look at the list, Anchor Bar. I mean, really? Bocce Club Pizza, I just had them a couple weeks ago on Hurdle. Look, not very good, all right? Big Mood in Buffalo. I mean, maybe they're good, but I feel like I've had enough wing places, or I've talked to enough people who have wings. I feel like if there's not a lot of hidden gems left. Like if I've never heard of the place, odds are they're probably not that good. Buffalo Wild Wings. Okay. You know, Danny's, dude, I have 77 places that I power ranked. Danny's South in Orchard Park is second last. They're 76 out of 77. And they're the one is Finnerty's. All right, now they're in Ellicottville. And then that's it, man. And then there's some places, like a handful of places from other states. I don't know. I don't trust other places that have good wings, man. Buffalo's got the best wings. So it just, I don't know, man. The whole process to me just seems like it's not a great value. It's kind of one of those gimmicky things. I know they have other things that go on. Like, they had the chicken wing eating contest. So I'm sure, you know, there's some entertainment. It's just, I don't know, man. It's not for me. I look at it like, you know, in Ireland, people in Ireland don't really celebrate St. Patrick's Day on St. Patrick's Day. To me, Winkfest is just another day. Every day is Winkfest to me, but I'd rather take, instead of $20, to go there and a $1.25 a wing, man, me and you could go hit up some, we'll go hit Sports City Pizza Pub on Niagara Street, or we'll go to our presenter here, Casey's Black Rock, and we'll go hit up some good wings and some Utica Club beers and,
right,
just be better off, man. Not right, doing all just, that bullshit.
Yeah,
I'm a hater.
I mean, it's I guess it's nice for a day out, and if you're just looking to just be like, yeah, whatever, just, you know, screw around and hang out with your buddies and slam some beers and have some wings, and yeah, cool. I mean, it's fine, but yeah, I just yeah, just for like a whole day for me, man. Like I can, you know, we can do our own. Hell, you could do the Buffalo Niagara Tourism, you know, wing trail and have a, and do way better than what you get at Wingfest. I mean, hell, we could come up with our own version of the wing trail, and I mean, you'll be eating really good at that point. But like, yeah, I don't know. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like there's some residue left from Joe from Queens on last week's show. You know, now I'm hating on people who are enjoying, you know, like, hey, you don't want to go, don't go, but don't ruin our good time. Wingfest is fun for us. And they're right. And they're right. And I'm being a hater, and I admit it. You know what? Speaking of being a hater, I got one more thing that I got to get this out of the way. Then we'll talk a little bit of Bills, and we're going to do our starting five because we didn't do that last week. I got a hot take for you, man. I'm old enough to remember right now. And again, this is continuing on with like the Joe from Queens theme of just being a hater to innocent fans. But I'm old enough to remember when people in Buffalo actually cared about the Toronto Blue Jays. Like, I never see anyone tweeting about the Blue Jays anymore, talking about, I know you're an exception, right? But I barely see anyone talking about the Blue Jays. I barely see anybody tweeting about the Blue Jays. There were some outlets in Buffalo that were literally doing like pregame, postgame shows live from the stadium when the Blue Jays were playing there. I never expected to have the same intensity of coverage once they left, but it's like now it's like a ghost town in Buffalo Blue Jays land. What's going on, man? Yeah.
You know, I had a mild experience with this because for the Bills game this past Saturday, the last preseason game, buddy of mine was like, he's like, you know, he just got done with work in the afternoon. He's just like, let's go hang out someplace and watch the game. And I was like, yeah, I'm down. So he was like, pick someplace downtown. We'll go hang out there. And I was like, all right. So we went to Sidelines. Sidelines is awesome. Great place. But they had a very specific, like Blue Jay burger that was on their menu. And like the menu that they should, that was online. I was like, hey, that actually looks pretty good. It looks like it'd be, might be worth trying. Let's get that. It's gone. The second the team was out of town, the burger's gone too. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I you know, things like that, I would just keep it around. It's just like a remembrance. But you're right, it's ghost town when it comes to like, it was Jays this, Jays that, Jays everything. And now it's just like, nah. Like, I mean, the whole stadium got stripped of most of the Jays stuff, which I get. Like, you can't just keep that. Can't keep that there. They're never coming back here unless things get worse with the pandemic again. But like, yeah, man, just everybody bailed. I mean, I think part of that's because the Jays like hit a funk like crazy. You know, the Yankees started beating everybody again, and the Mets are a sideshow. So like they're drowned out by everything else. But yeah, man, it's like the second they went back to Canada, it was like, well, we can forget about them now. We're done.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, We all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
All right, back with Joe Yurden. I'm done being a hater. Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm not. That remains to be seen. I do want to talk Bills Stadium stuff because there was some news that come out this week. It came courtesy of my good friend John Worrell from the Associated Press, who, to his credit, man, he had a good report. I mean, it's well worth talking about. So credit to John. I've always had this. John's a good reporter, man. I've never would take that away from him. But anyway, he had a report that there's a proposal for the new stadium and that it would be done in 2027. That the stadium would have about 60,000 seats, which I read a report from Buffalo Rumblings that is 17% less than current capacity. It would be the smallest stadium in the NFL. And the other thing of note is that not a dome. It would have a kind of a hangover, like some of the seats would be covered, kind of like Miami Hard Rock Stadium, as I've been in that stadium. So you could be protected from getting rained on, but the elements are still there for you. I want to get your thoughts. I had Anthony on Wednesday. He agreed about the stadium being small as a positive, and he kind of cited, the fact that just less people are going to games now. Some people are going to get priced out. There's, so many other alternatives TV-wise with the Sunday ticket and the red zone and things like that for some people. Going to a game's not really family friendly anymore, especially in Bills Mafia land. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get your thoughts on that. And then, like I said, your thoughts on it not being a dome. What do you think?
I think you've known from the start with all this stuff. I'm highly cynical about everything that's come out about everything with this. And I've seen nothing but negatives about everything that they're doing. And that's mostly because I do not have any faith or trust in ownership to do something that has the fans at the front of their minds. Because everything that's come out now with, putting the stadium, building a new stadium in OP and now, wanting to hoist the bill on the entire state and the county, which, I mean, we all know that's not going to happen, but the fact that was their ask, they had their bag man come out and threaten relocation, which they've come back on this week. Rick Rakuya has been hit the radio this morning, I think, to kind of soften the blow of what Jim Wilkinson was saying. So, but I don't know, taking away seats, covering up the seats. It's like, okay, cool. Like you won't get snowed on. You're still going to freeze. Like that's the part of being outside everybody hates is being frozen. Snow people like because they toss it up in the air, they're having fun, they build snowmen in the seats. Like that's fun.
Is it a myth? Do you think it's a myth, Joe, that fans like those elements in December? I know it's a myth that the players like it because I know the players don't. I've talked to many current players that don't like playing in the snow. Like, do you think fans actually enjoy that? I think you got to be kind of crazy to go out there and freeze your nuts off and enjoy it. I mean, people do it, but to enjoy it, it's not a real home field advantage is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I don't either. I think the only time it's an advantage is if you're playing Miami or Tampa or somebody like that in, late December, early January, then like, okay, cool. Maybe it works for you because those teams playing in the sunshine all year, but I don't know. As far as like an actual advantage, I don't know, man. I know they, part of the reason they drafted Josh Allen because he had big hands and he could throw in the elements, but like,
right. But this is a precision pass happy offense. I really, now again, they're building a stadium for years and decades to come. And Josh Allen, unfortunately, is not going to be the quarterback for the next 35 to 40 years, but this offense as it's constructed right now, man, I think it'd be better off in a dome. It's a timing offense. Josh Allen slings the ball all over the field. Elements matter. The Bills ain't exactly known for running the football effectively right now.
So yeah, I don't know. I think a retractable roof with natural grass would be the way to go. Cause I mean, they got one of those, I think that's what Arizona's field is. Like they've got, like they can cover it up if they have to, but like that's natural grass. They're able to take care of that. Now it's really expensive to do that. We all know that's very prohibitive of what the Bengals want to do. I mean, that's why they're an OP. It's cheaper land. It's why they're taking, you know, they're taking some seats away because they're going to be able to charge more for them. Yeah, that's why they're doing a lot of the things they are, so they can keep the cost down so they can maximize the profits, which I get, but also like that's so cynical of, you know, multi-billionaires to do that, to just be like, we're going to milk this cow for all it's worth. And, you know, the fans are the cow. So, I don't know. So much of it is just, so much of it just reeks of being like, these guys, you know, these guys are phonies. Like they don't care about the fans. And like, I get it. There's huge issues of like trying to put a team, you know, trying to put the stadium downtown. I get it. Like that it's, you know, the costs are way higher. Like you got to build infrastructure into it. I understand. But I mean, man, but like, it's just, it's going for the bottom line no matter what. And that's what drives me nuts. Like if you're going to drop, you know, over $1 billion in something, make it worthwhile for like everybody instead of just being like, well, this is good for like, you know, 10 games, 10, 11 games a year and like two or three concerts. Get out of here, please.
Is PSC being, are they being cheap? Because let's just say, and yeah, they want, the Pegulas want the public to pay for everything. That's not happening. The public wants Pegula to pay for everything. That's not happening. They're going to meet somewhere in the middle. Let's just say, if PSC ends up paying, I don't know, man, maybe 40, 45% of the cost. Let's just, I don't know, throw that number out there for the hell of it. Is the reason why there's not a dome financially, they just don't want to spend more money of their own money? Because I can't think of any reason other than that to not have a dome. I mean, yeah, look, there's only a certain amount of musical acts, and I put this out on Twitter, and some people made fair points. So you got Billy Joel, you know, Rolling Stones, Beyonce. There's been some concerts here. One Direction did the stadium. There's not a lot of artists out there today that are capable of selling out a 60,000 seat stadium, but there are some. So you could probably have 4 to 5 more concerts a year. You can have college hockey or basketball, especially, you know, maybe not necessarily a Final Four, but regional finals. You could be farther in the tournament. There's lots of things that you could have at the arena if you had a dome. So are they just not willing to spend more money? And I know that they've put out, obviously, I'm sure they spent millions of dollars doing polls and surveys and stuff and finding out things. I get the 60,000 fans, although I really don't like that much. I just can't. I have yet to talk to a sports media person. I've yet to even talk to a fan for the most part that thinks a dome is a stupid idea. So is it just purely financial reasons why the Pegulas just don't want a dome?
I think it's very much financial reasons, but it's not necessarily them being cheap. A dome on top of that would add like another 300, 400 million to the cost, which
sure.
It's not a drop in the bucket. Like let's be real here. But I think when you cross that with that cost, you know, okay, we're going to spend 340, 400 million for retractable roof. What kind of events can we pull in that we're not currently getting that we could possibly do for that? Like, okay, so maybe you get the regional final for the NCAA tournament. Possible, but you have to compete against lots of other cities. Maybe you could pull a WrestleMania. Like that, you know, that's something you could pull by doing that. Now, granted, it's not as attractive as, you know, putting it in, you know, Tampa Bay or New Orleans or, you know, Jerry World down in Dallas. But like 60,000, maybe not getting a WrestleMania, but maybe you're getting like another pay-per-view
a SummerSlam.
Big pay-per-view. Well, yeah, you're getting SummerSlam. Something like that. You know, boxing. Maybe boxing. Nah. Depends on the New York not rules a
good,
for boxing.
Yeah, not a good, not, and plus not a good example. I mean, there's UFC. Not a lot of boxing and even UFC to an extent, but you know, the arena's big enough probably for that. You're not going to get 60,000 people really to go watch UFC.
But I mean, like those are the events you're looking at taking a shot at. Like your Super Bowl, you're not going to get a Super Bowl, but like, are you going to be able to make up that kind of money even over time, even over like 10, 15 years, are you going to make up that cost just based on that? I don't think so. So, I mean, I get it, but I mean, I think it's just, it's very basic, baselessly. I mean, it's not baseless, but it's very founded in profits. Like what can you turn around and get with that puts you in that next level tier to be able to say, hey, come to Buffalo. You're going to, you know, run the show, do all these things. I mean, and that's and I think that's part of where putting in an OP doesn't help either. Because if it's downtown Buffalo, you can at least use that as something to build up a convention center, you know, to be able to draw things in. You can do more if you've got those things downtown, which you don't, but then you're putting in Orchard Park and they definitely don't have that stuff. So it's hard. It's really hard. And you can't quite justify it, but like, it's annoying. it's still annoying just the same, because, you know, fans don't want to be sitting outside when it's, you know, 3 degrees. You know, and it might not even be snowing. At least snow gives you the aesthetic. But if it's 3 degrees, you're just freezing your ass off. Fuck that, man.
Right. That's a fair point. I mean, if it's not going to be financially worth it, PSC, you can't expect them to spend $300 million more just so Pat Moran and Joe Yurden and 58,000 Bills fans aren't quite as cold, you know, on Sundays in December. It is what it is. But it's an interesting report from John, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. And it's worth noting that this was an original proposal. Doesn't mean it's not set in stone that there's going to be 60,000. It might end up being 70,000. It might end up being a dome. I mean, it's not going to be, but I'm just saying it could happen. This is not like set in stone stuff. This was the proposal. And obviously there'll be a lot of negotiations. It's going to be something to monitor. That's for sure. Players. All right. So I don't want to talk about the roster, like the Bills cut down. They've already done that twice this week. Nothing really surprising. Reed Ferguson got cut for a half day. That was procedural. Jacob Hollister, the tight end, that was probably the most notable cut. But again, I've kind of hit on that already. Here's what I wanted to bring up. Players who got cut who were not vaccinated are in a lot of trouble right now, okay? Because it's kind of unwritten, but if you're going to be unvaccinated and playing the NFL, you better be good. You better be an asset to that football team. You better be Cole Beasley. You better be Gabriel Davis or somebody like that who you like is pretty much an indispensable player. If you're that guy who got cut on Tuesday and you're not vaccinated, you're in a lot of trouble because with Cole Beasley, we could say what we want about him off the field and his tweets and his stances. But with Cole Beasley, the juice is worth the squeeze. You know, if you're a guy who just got cut and you've refused to get vaccinated, the juice ain't worth the squeeze, man. So I would suspect that maybe even as we're doing this podcast here on Thursday afternoon for a Friday drop, I bet you there's a lot of players out there who ain't been vaccinated yet who are probably hitting up Wegmans or whatever local pharmacy in their neighborhood, and they were starting that process. By the way, literally as we're talking, I just saw a report the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are now 100% vaccinated. Everybody on that team is vaccinated. Clearly, that's not the case, and it won't be the case with the Bills. But do you agree with that, though? If you're an unvaccinated player and you just got cut, you are getting your shots, or you better go look up another career, because ain't nobody, Brandon Bean ain't putting anybody on the practice squad who is unvaccinated. That is a danger, or not necessarily a danger. It's a risk, though, and it's not, like I said, the juice ain't worth the squeeze when it comes to that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think when it's at that point, yeah, I think that's definitely the case. I mean, we saw Urban Meyer got slapped around for essentially saying what everybody thinks is the case. You know, it happened to Brandon Bean, you know, before camp opened up, where he's like, you know, hey, maybe that makes the difference. And then the PA to come out, whoa, 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 hey, no, you can't be saying that out loud. No. Like, that can't be a reason for cutting a guy. And I'm like, well, can it? Can it though? Like it's a, if it's a coin flip between vaccinated, unvaccinated guy, sorry, taking the guy who's not going to possibly expose the rest of the team. But I mean, like it's kind of like that unwritten rule at this point where it's just like, you might want to do it. I mean, kudos to Isaiah McKenzie for getting shamed by everybody into getting it taken care of, unless he posted a fake vaccine card, which would be hilarious. But I mean, like, dude, kind of recanted where he came from on that. So, but I mean, you're 100% right. Like, it's not worth the risk to bring in somebody who's not taking. Yeah, you can look at it as they're not taking care of themselves. Like, it's a different kind of physical risk. And, you know, if some guy comes in out of shape, is he going to make the team? No. You know, right. If some guy comes in, he's got a bad ankle and he hasn't gotten treated, is he going to make the team? No. Like, this ain't happening. Like, if some guy comes in and he's decided, like, not only am I not vaccinated against COVID, but I'm not vaccinated against the measles. Like, you know, like if it's something like that, he's like, I never got a booster in my life because screw it. Who needs it? Like, no, dude, you ain't playing. Like, you're lucky to be able to be allowed in public.
You, well, like I said, I mean, teams technically can't cut a player because he's unvaccinated, but they are. That's just the way it is. I'm telling you, there's players who got cut because they're not vaccinated. And it's as simple as that. A guy like, say, look at Cam Newton, okay? I think Mac Jones was eventually going to win that job anyway. And I think if Cam Newton wasn't going to be the starter, I think Bill Belichick was going to cut him because I don't think Cam Newton's the kind of guy you want as a backup. But Cam Newton missed 5 days over being unvaccinated. And during that time, Mac Jones, there were joint practices with the New York Giants. And by all accounts, by all reports, he looked sensational. He had the opportunity to do that because Cam Newton was out because of the vaccination stuff. And as a result, at least partially because of that, Mac Jones got named starter. Cam Newton got cut. And I'm going to tell you right now, I could be wrong, and maybe I'll eat my words, and it won't be the first time if I do, but I don't see a team signing Cam Newton if he doesn't get the shots. There's no team in the league right now that needs a starter. And again, I'm not even sure he's a good backup if he is vaccinated, because I don't think he's the kind of guy you want as a backup. I'd rather have a Matt Barkley type, a mentor. You know what I mean? Somebody who really, truly understands his role, like Derek Anderson was for a short amount of time with Josh Allen. Cam Newton, man, he better get a shot, or I don't think he's going to play anymore. Maybe he doesn't anyway. And I'm just using him as one example, but I don't think there's any question in my mind. It's kind of like the police. Well, they can pull you over for whatever they want to. They can tell you whatever the reason is, whatever they want it to be. But if a cop wants to be a prick and pull you over, he's going to pull you over. That's the way these GMs are right now when it comes to being vaccinated. And if I was Brandon Bean, by the way, for the record, or if I was 31 other GMs, I'd be the same way, dude. I don't want unvaccinated players on my team. Again, unless you are so good that you're indispensable and you're clearly going to make my team worse if I cut you.
Yeah. That's it. It's funny you mentioned Derek Anderson, because he's probably, I mean, he's retired, but the way he rants on Twitter, he's definitely not vaccinated.
No.
He's probably finding a way to get shots taken out of his body for those reasons. But like, I come back to, is Cam Newton better than, are all 32 starting quarterbacks better than Cam Newton? No. Could he play somewhere else? Yeah, probably. Is somebody going to take the chance on him right now? Nah. Nah. Yeah. He didn't look great last year. And now you've got like the vaccination stuff over his head. Like, you're not taking that risk. You are taking that risk if you tell him, like, hey, if you're vaccinated, we'll bring you in. And then if he says, nah, I'm good, okay, have fun. that's what it comes down to. Now, the thing I didn't like about that was that Belichick didn't really, maybe he's just being a hard ass just to keep the questions away, but he didn't really make it seem like that was the reason.
I don't believe him, but yeah.
Trump's one of his, he loves Trump. So it's like, maybe he does feel that way, but also like, it's a good way to keep people from asking you questions, just to be a total hard ass about it and just make it so that, like, I don't know if I want to follow up with Belichick about this stuff. I mean, somebody in New England will, but like, he made it certainly seem like, well, you know, it's their choice. They can do whatever they want. that's up to them. Don't ask me about this again.
Before we get to our weekly starting five draft, let's do our weekly. I got to ask you something about Jack Eichel. Kind of bring me up to speed a little bit. Bring listeners up to speed who maybe have not been paying attention, because again, a lot of people have been focused on what's going on with the Bills and who is going to make that roster and whatnot, and everything else going on in this crazy world. But I saw a report, Jack Eichel has a new agent, a powerful agent. And I saw something on Twitter earlier this week that he's going to be, somebody reported, I don't know if it's confirmed or true or not, but that Jack Eichel is going to have surgery soon, and that the earliest I think he would be back is December. So talk about that report and if it feels valid to you. And also, if it is true, how does this affect the Sabres with Jack Eichel and potentially trading the goddamn dude, man?
As far as the surgery report, I don't believe it yet. Okay. If he is going to get it done, it'll be out there. So when it comes to that, I'm just like, okay, whatever. When it's time for that to happen, it'll be fine. The thing that, Elliot Friedman reported on the 31 Thoughts podcast, recently was that Eichel and his representatives, and the NHLPA met up with the Sabres and the NHL representatives in Buffalo back on like August 18th, kind of like a powwow. Now, I think that was before Pat Brisson was brought on board by Eichel. But that kind of meeting to me is really interesting, because you have to believe that's one of those like, all right, we're going to get this worked out or what kind of things, like, you know, what's going to happen now. If that meeting is what caused this surgery report to come out, then okay. Like I can connect the dots there for sure. But I look at that as I look at it as a bit scarier of a thing, because when you're bringing in the union, that's when I think that you're doing it for possible grievance purposes. And to me, that's throwing the nuke out there, because I think not that there's a relationship to be saved with the Sabres, but like that process gets very ugly if that's the case. And that's what I'm really curious about. Obviously, you know, training camp's coming soon and he's still on the team and he still wants to get, you know, his version of the surgery. So I don't know, like that's the more interesting part to me now. I want to know what was said at that meeting. I want to know what that meeting's about. I want to know, like, that's the stuff I want to hear about. I'll never find it out until people want to discuss it after he's probably traded. But that's what I'm way more curious about, is to see, you know, is to know what that happened at that meeting and how it went down.
I think essentially there's a 0% chance Jack Eichel is going to be in a Sabres uniform on opening night, skating, playing first line center for the Sabres. There's a 0% chance of that. But is there an increasing chance, something I'm sure neither of us would have said a month or two ago, that Jack Eichel might still be on the Buffalo Sabres roster on opening night? That's starting to become I don't want to say a probability, but it's certainly becoming a legitimate possibility, right?
Yeah. And that's just as stunning to me, because who thought that would happen? You know, I think everybody thought this was going to be done and settled by then, and he would be gone and he'd, you know, be able to do whatever. But whether it's to his credit or to his detriment, Kevin Adams has held the line. And, you know, I mean, obviously that depends on what the return is on an eventual trade. But I mean, you know, he's shown that he won't be forced into doing it. And, you know, he's not going to take a bad return on that, which, I mean, he shouldn't have to, but if that report was accurate and he's going to get surgery done, I assume that means it would be the fusion surgery the Sabres approve of, which to me, don't care for that. I don't like that at all. Because I think that will absolutely hinder the rest of his career. But I mean, if they found a way to agree on an artificial disc replacement, I mean, again, I can't see the Sabres budging on that. I just don't see it. But this, I don't know, the chances of him actually still being on the roster, which him being available at training camp. I mean, he won't be available at training camp if he doesn't pass his physical, which he shouldn't. He ain't gonna be available. But you know, if you're gonna have Don Granato answering questions, you have Kevin Adams answering questions. Like, hey, this dude's still here. Like, what gives? You know, all the players are gonna have to answer questions about it. I don't want the players to have to deal with that, but they're gonna have to because it is gonna be a distraction. And that to me is where it ultimately fails. But we still got a lot of time here. it's like a game and you're down two goals. Like, plenty of hockey left here, but like there's plenty of time left for things to get changed around. But I think the discussions will only ramp up before camp starts, because we know Jack's not pleased. We just know he's not happy. He's very frustrated about all of this because he wants to be settled. He wants to move on.
Let's ramp up our starting five draft. And we didn't do one last week because we had Joe from Queens and we taped the show live from Casey's Black Rock, which, by the way, that was a lot of fun, man. Pounding some beers. Joe is, you know, I don't want to get into this Joe rant or review, but I will say this about Joe from Queens. When he has the ability to talk and have context to some of the points that he's making, I went into that podcast. In fact, you and I arrived before him, and I said, I'm going to be combative. I know me and this dude are going to go at it. And that never really materialized, because I think when he's speaking and he has context to what he's saying, it makes more sense and it seems a little less offensive, personally offensive to people. Whereas when you're tweeting and you have 140 or 280 characters, it just comes off as a pure hater. Like I said, we were going to examine, is Joe a harsh critic or a pure hater last week? Mm-hmm. On Twitter, he's just a hater. But in context, yes. When he has the ability to talk and elaborate on some of his points, I actually agreed with a lot of them. And I thought, all right, well, he is more of a critic, maybe a harsh critic. It was fun. So, I don't know, I just wanted to throw that out there anyway. So, good job, Joe.
It was a great time.
It was a great time. I had fun with both you guys. I always had fun with you. And it was nice to actually, that was not the first time I met Joe, but it was the first time I sat down and had a conversation with him. So, yeah, that was fun. But anyway, we didn't do the starting five last week because of that. We're back this week. So 2 weeks ago, we did best hair bands. I'm fucking pissed off about this one. Joe?
Yeah, I'm Joe annoyed won. Too because you I'm got a good list.
I'm not annoyed that you won. Joe won with 72% of the vote. He had Motley Crue, who he took first overall, Whitesnake, Poison, Warrant, Rat. There's not a real weakness in there. I'm good with all five of those picks. Mm-hmm. I picked Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, Skid Row, Cinderella, and Europe. And I only scored 28%. So this was another classic Pat Joe blowout. And I don't fucking like that. That was egregious voting. I think this was the worst job by fans. If you're out there and you voted, I think you should be ashamed of yourself. Not because Joe won, but because Joe won with 72% of the vote. Now, I know, again, being in Buffalo, that Bon Jovi stigma is real. People in Buffalo hate John Bon Jovi for life. Okay, they hate him for life because they are convinced he was going to buy the Bills or be part of that group with the Rogers Communications and move our asses, the Bills, out to Toronto. So people hate him for that. And then I also got some, which I completely disagree with, Europe slander. Europe was a good group, man. That was terrible. Like, they only had, the Final Countdown was the only song that they ever had. Bullshit. So I did not like that at all.
If you've ever seen the movie Hot Rod, Europe is used exclusively throughout that movie, and it's great. It added to that movie for me so much that to have Europe playing throughout it.
This was one of the few drafts I think that we've done, and we've done a lot of these now, where I think all 10 selections were good selections. There wasn't no bad one. I have this bad habit every time, well, not every time, but most times we do a draft, I just completely blow it with one or two absolutely awful picks. That didn't happen this time. But according to fans, it did. So bad job, fans. Bad job. All right. This
probably this not helping week, yourself for the vote this week by saying, probably, you fans, you stink.
You suck. Probably. Probably not. This week we're doing best karaoke songs. And I'm going to tell you this right now, Joe. If I lose this, or especially if I get blown out, then I know that there's a conspiracy against me, because my wife is a singer. I have probably been to more karaoke shows than almost anybody you know. My finger is on the pulse of the karaoke community. So if I get my ass handed to me in this comp, in this this week's draft, then I know there's some bullshit going on. Like, you got some side you got some side deals going on with a couple hundred people to vote for you no matter what you say.
I'm paying out a lot of bribes, okay, Pat?
A lot of free beers at Essex Street Pub. All right, but anyway, so best karaoke songs, I'm going first, right? Because you took Motley Crue last time. All right, so I got the first one. Not any real clear-cut number one, but this is one I hear at karaoke all the time. And by the way, I should say this is best karaoke songs, not necessarily the most common. I got to be careful because I know what the most common ones are. But one that I hear a lot that people enjoy and sing along to, and it's going to be my first overall pick, is Garth Brooks, Friends in Low Places. I hear that all the time. It's not a glamorous pick, but I feel like it's a pretty safe pick. Again, I go to karaoke a lot. Dude, when I was in Florida for the last 5 years, by the way, probably on average, we went to karaoke once a week. I mean, not a lot of explanation needed for that one. It's a popular song, and people sing it, and it's a good sing-along song. A lot of the karaoke songs, I think, well, both of us are probably going to pick, aren't just good tunes necessarily, but they're songs that people who are listening will sing along with as well. So anyway, Friends in Low Places, that's mine, and now you're going to have two.
Yeah, that to me is what makes a great karaoke song, is that if you can get the crowd involved, you're not just putting yourself on an island.
Sure.
That's the best way to do it. You're right. This is one where there isn't a clear number one. There absolutely is not a clear number one with any of these. And I'm just thinking of like times I've gone to karaoke and been like, oh man, like, and if you hear somebody kill it, then it sticks in your mind. Or if you hear somebody kill it, then you're like, oh man, right. Like that's terrible. Okay, this is going to be weird. I'm going to go with Mr. Brightside by The Killers. That's more of a recent development. And I think that's because, you know, younger millennials are getting older and going to karaoke. True. But Mr. Brightside, oh my God. Like, if that song comes on at a bar, people go nuts. If that song comes on at karaoke, everybody's singing along.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to go with that one.
It didn't resonate with me at first, but as it kind of sunk in a little bit, I'm like, I could see that. I could definitely see that. Yeah,
just totally sure. With the chorus. Like, the chorus just gets everybody going. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to go a little bit more traditional karaoke with Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Ah! Funny story after you say why. Great story coming up. Go ahead.
That's another one where it's everybody sings along to that one. Like, without a doubt. Everybody's all over that one, and everybody's with you. Like, if you're a bad singer, everybody will pick you up. If you're a great singer, everybody's gonna jump in. Like, that to me is like, that's a bar uniter. If you start busting that one out,
that is a great pick. Quick backstory here: that was number three on my list, by the way. So that was gonna be one of my next two picks. Well, for a personal reason, I just told you my wife is a singer. That is literally one of her two or three signature songs, and she'll sing that, and she sings it really well, obviously. Nice. And the guys, like, it would be me and a couple friends, you know, the turn around, you'd get up from your chair and yell, turn around, and then she's singing. By the time I got to the chorus, everybody in the bar is singing. That is a fucking fantastic pick right there. And I'm really angry that you took that. I really am.
Sorry, man.
I'm going to keep going with two songs. But for the record, they're not two songs that I necessarily, in fact, I don't like either song, but they're good karaoke songs and they're popular sing-along karaoke songs. One of them, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to do it. Wannabe by the Spice Girls.
Nice.
If you want to be my lover. That gets everybody singing. Yep. Whether they want to admit it or not. So that's one. And then the other one, and I hate the song. This might be one of my least favorite rap songs in the history of rap music. And I hate rap music today. I hate hip hop today, but I am a connoisseur of early hip hop, like late 70s into the 80s and maybe even like early 90s. I mean, I was obsessed with rap and hip hop music. But anyway, I hate this song, but it's so popular and it's a good karaoke song. Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. That is another one. Somebody will get up there and rap and it's usually fucking horrible. It's a white dude who's got no cadence, no rhythm, sounds like shit. But people are singing along and they're having a good time. So for that reason, it's a great karaoke song, but it's a horrible fucking actual song. So yeah, Wannabe and Baby Got Back. this might go disastrously for me. I'm already thinking, I'm like, God damn it. No.
No, I'm actually annoyed you took Baby Got Back, because that I had that on my list, like, ready to go. Mm-hmm. And, like, you said rap song that you hate, and I had two on my list that I was like, I hope he doesn't pick this one. If he picked the other one, I was like, I could live with it, but this one's tough for me, because everybody loves it.
Yeah.
Like, the whole introduction, it doesn't even need, like, you just need to start the introduction. Like, oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. Like, you start doing that, everybody's in. Everybody is in with it.
I hate the song, but I'll sing it at karaoke. If I hear it at karaoke, I'm going to sing along with it, even though I hate it. All right, go ahead.
I'm going to go with a boy band favorite here. I Want It That Way.
Nice.
By the Backstreet Boys.
Nice. I love that.
Because it's like slow paced, but everybody sings along to it.
Yes.
Everybody goes with it. Like, I hated boy band stuff coming up. And I was, I was in college. It was everywhere. And I was just like, oh, this stuff sucks. This is just so bad. But, like, once you get out of that ultra bro-y life in college and you step away from it, you don't hear it for a while. Then you go to a wedding, somebody busts it out and you're like, oh, that is a good song. Like, it's a great pop song.
It is.
Like, that's a great, great karaoke song. Because, again, everybody knows all the words. And you get that, tell me why. Everybody's doing that. Everybody's trying to do it in their worst falsetto. Like that.
The difference between you and I is I actually fucking love Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And I love boy band music. That's the difference between us. But, yeah, man, that's a good pick. And that's going to do well. I guarantee it.
And then I'm going to go with the one song that I will, if somebody needs a volunteer as part of this duo, if they need to sing somebody to sing the guy part, I am in every single time. It's Love Shack by the B-52s.
I hate that song so much.
Fred Schneider part of that song is when I can do my Fred Schneider impression during that song, because that's the only way you can sing it. Like, you can't sing it straight up with your own voice. You have to try to do your most over top version of Fred Schneider's voice. You have to do it. You have no choice. You have to do it. And yeah, the one time I teamed up with a friend of mine back in Albany, and she was killing it on the girl's part. And I came in, started slamming Fred Schneider voice out there. People were loving it. And I was like, all right, I found my niche doing voices to cover up for my lack of ability to sing.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to, of all the polls that we've had, of all the drafts, the fact if you win this week with making a song that I absolutely despise in Love Shack, and by the way, you did sing that part well, that's going to make me sick. If there's probably two songs I hate more than anything in this world, three songs, I'm going to tell you real quickly, three songs, and by the way, there are three popular karaoke songs, I'm obviously not picking them, Love Shack, like you just said, Paradise by the Dashboard Light. So if you're going to pick that, don't pick that.
No,
and then the last one, I hate this song with the deep passionate picture by Kid Rock and Sheryl Crow, that duet. Absolutely. Those are three of my least favorite songs. Quick side note here before I make my last two picks here. All right. So you said that would be your duet, but like my karaoke song to sing for me, I'm not putting it in the best karaoke. I'm not drafting it. But just as a side note, if I'm drunk and I get up there and I want to entertain, I sing Barry Manilow. I write the songs. And I'm a horrible singer, and it's hard to listen to, but people are drunk and they just sing along to it anyway. Like, do you have a signature karaoke song if somebody could talk you up there and coach you up there to singing?
No, because there's not one for me, because I...
Brutally honest.
This goes back to what we started with, like listening back to anything that we've been on. I know I can't sing. I hear myself in the car unable to sing. Like, if I catch myself like going along with it and the music cuts, and then I'm just like, no, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, which is sad because I love music, but nope, cannot.
Isn't it funny that we could do, Joe and I could do a live show right now, and there could be 400 people surrounding us, and I would not be nervous. I'd be a little bit nervous, but I'd be fine. I could do a radio spot. I'd be fine. I'd do a TV spot. I'd be fine. If I'm up there singing karaoke with seven people in the bar, I'm shitting my pants because I'm so nervous.
Oh yeah. No, I used to do theater in high school and college, and like acting gives you the butterflies. It gets the, you know, it gets the heart pumping, gets the adrenaline going, but like singing in front of people. Oh man. No, like high school, every year we did a musical in high school, which I hated. I like to act. I can't sing. And every year the teacher, our teacher was a huge theater person, but he was also a scientist. But he was like, all right, everybody's got to do, you have to do your, you know, have to do your singing audition part of it. And I look at him and go, you know, I can't do this. And he's like, yeah, I know. Just give it a try. Let's see how it goes. It's like, you know, I have a bass voice. Bass voices don't carry in musicals at all. And he's like, I know, but like, just give it a go. And I give it a go. And he's like, yep, you're right. I was like, just give me whatever the best role is where I don't have to sing and we'll call it a day. Like that's fine. But yeah. Man, oh God. No, like karaoke. Oh my God. Karaoke petrifies me. If I got to do a song alone. Oh my. I know I'm doing badly and I know I'm bombing. It's the longest, like 3.5-4 minutes of your life.
I love karaoke going. The only thing I hate about going to karaoke is, again, I always go, or not always, but I usually go with my wife, who's a fantastic singer, which sometimes people who don't know any better, they assume that I'm also going to be able to sing, which I cannot. And I also don't like when people, I don't like to be dragged into stuff. You know, people sometimes are like, you get up there, and they grab your arm or they'll put a slip in for you, even worse, but they'll try to get you up there. That I hate. All right. No. So anyway, I got two more here. My last two. You know what? I like this song. I'm going to draw from a draft that we had a couple weeks ago and actually a selection that you made. I'm going to go with Billy Joel, Piano Man. I think that's a very popular song at karaoke. Again, not many people sing it that well, but it's a crowd pleaser, which by the way, I think the theme that we're both doing here, which I agree as it should be for best karaoke songs, are songs that kind of draw people in and make them interactive, involved and part of the show. I think Piano Man's a song that people like to sing along to a lot. So I'm going to go with that. And then, I'm still mad that you got Total Eclipse of the Heart. I really am, because I really like that. And I Want It That Way. That was another good one. You know what? I'm just going to go with a rock classic that people sing along. And I hear it a lot at karaoke. Again, I'm at shows. I hear it a lot. Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Nice. I know it's nothing flashy, you know, like, whoa. But that's a song that people like to sing along with, too. I've went purely with songs that I think the audience might enjoy more than the singer. And certainly, again, these aren't like well-performed karaoke songs, but they're good crowd pleasers. So yeah, those are my two. All right, you got one more. And that's
I
it.
I do. Yeah. See, I'm torn because there is a classic rock song that would work, but it's really long. And I don't know. And it's a huge crowd sing-along song.
Let me guess. If you're not taking it, let me guess.
I don't think I'm taking it.
Is it Led Zeppelin?
No.
All right. Well, then
it's not Led Zeppelin.
And that was going to be Stairway to Heaven, because I hear that sometimes.
No.
That's
my
a tough song to say, by the way. Those high notes from Robert Plant, you got some balls you get up there and you even try those. But anyway.
Also, the time you spend dicking around on stage during the solos, I can't do it. Anything with too much like music interludes. If you're not busting it, like if you're not like cranking the voice and like you just need a break, you just got to be like, all right, that's enough. That's enough for now. Like, but like if you're just like letting the audience just kind of mill around and they lose interest, forget it. Just forget it. They can't do it. Man, I got to do my nervous clicking the pen thing here.
Come on, blow it.
Come on, blow it, he says. You know, see, the thing is, like, each of these songs, I'm thinking of bad ways people have sung it in my head, and I'm just like, I don't know if I want that. Like, I've heard all these I remember because they were just bad renditions, and I'm just like, is it actually a good song or just one where I was just like, holy shit, they're terrible. No, I'm going to pick it. Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen.
That's on my list.
It's such a long song, but it's so good. Everybody loves it.
Everybody loves it.
Everybody's singing along to it.
Yeah.
You don't even need, nobody can do Freddie Mercury's voice, but like, it's one where you feel okay. Even if you stink at singing, you feel okay with it because you can ham it up. You can do it however you want. And people are just going to be like, yep, this is good.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. Yep. Go with
you,
it. Like,
you could sing it for real. You could sing it in a drunken Freddie Mercury voice. It's a great sing along. I have that on my list too. That's a good pick. There were a couple that I had on my list that they were hovering around right around the time where I did Piano Man and Don't Stop Believing. Like, I don't necessarily, when I do a list, I don't always do a list. Sometimes I just look at a big group and I pick from them. But sometimes I'll do a list and I'll rank them like 1 through 10. And then I'll have like tiers. Like, I got it, tier 1, tier 2, tier 3.
Yeah.
Piano Man, Don't Stop Believing, and Bohemian Rhapsody. Those were all in the same tier for me. There are a couple that I have written down that neither of us took. I wanted to throw out there. Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond. I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. That's a pretty popular one. And Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John. Rocket Man by Elton John. There's a lot of popular Elton John songs. And I thought I was going to get away with being able to say Bohemian Rhapsody as an honorable mention, but you just stole that one.
The other ones I had were, and this is, again, these are ones where it's just like bad renditions that people have done stuck in my head. Wonderwall by Oasis.
Okay.
Which, I mean, it's kind of a meme thing now where it's like, anyway, here's Wonderwall. Rehab by Amy Winehouse.
Nah, that's a good one.
I was very close to picking that. Say It Ain't So by Weezer.
Good one.
The other rap song I was thinking of was Ice Ice Baby from Vanilla Ice.
I thought that was my first thought I had when you said the other one. I was thinking that.
Yeah. Country Roads, just John because Denver. Everybody loves the chorus. Song. Like, I couldn't tell you any of the other words of the song, but like Country Roads, Take Me Home, like everybody freaking knows that one. I had a pile of other ones at the bottom of the list, but like, it's not worth really getting it. These Boots by Nancy Sinatra.
Yeah.
I've seen so many girls do that hammered, and it's great. It's great no matter what, because they're just like, they could just slur into the mic the whole first part. Right. Like, all right, Boots, let's get walking. Then everybody's like doing their go-go dances to it. So it's great. You know what? I'm surprised you didn't take Africa by Toto.
I love Africa. It's not I never really hear people singing it at karaoke though. Now, if we were doing a draft of favorite songs, that would be on my list. That'd be pretty high on my list. I love Africa. I just don't think I never really hear it sung much at karaoke. I don't think it's a really necessarily good karaoke song. All right. So let's review these. I went first. So yeah, my top five were Friends in Low Places by Garth Brooks, Wannabe by the Spice Girls, Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. I hate that song. Piano Man by Billy Joel, and Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Joe went with Mr. Brightside by The Killers, Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler, I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys, Love Shack by the B-52s, and then Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen. My hope to win this is that maybe old voters, I say old, older voters don't know Mr. Brightside well, who don't get out much. So that's a hope of mine. And I hope that people feel like I do and just absolutely despise Love Shack. I doubt anyone hates it as much as me. That's my only hope, man. Total Eclipse of the Heart's going to do well. I know it is. I say this every week and then it never turns out to be true. So maybe I shouldn't say it, but I'm going to anyway. I just want a close vote, man. That's all I want. I want a close vote. But after Best Hair Bands being a blowout for you, I don't have faith in it, man. I like my team, but I don't know that I like my chances.
Well, I have to give out great love to all the voters for believing in me. And thank you very much for voting for me. And I very much appreciate all of the support you've all given me through these great blowout victories. And unlike Pat, I would not denigrate your opinions like that. So I thank you in advance for your votes.
All right, I've had enough of this bullshit. Follow Joe on Twitter at Joe Yurden. Again, I want to thank Casey's Black Rock Tavern, even though we're not taping all of our shows. We're going to tape some there from time to time, but they are a presenting sponsor for the podcast. So much love to them from Joe and I. Thanks, brother. This was a lot of fun. It was nice. It was nice to, I still like doing shows better in person, but it's always nice to hook up. And it was nice to, I didn't realize how much I like doing these starting five drafts until last week when we didn't do it. So to be able to do these again, even if it's just self-serving for you and I anyway, it's a lot of fun to do. And thanks for doing the podcast as always, buddy.
Absolutely. Always fun.